nowhere this soft. "Like you," she said, feeling weird and tearful. "Like you so much, Levi." And then she kissed my receding hairline and cried, she imagined him saying. In her imagination, Levi was Danny Zuko, and his roommates were the rest of the T-Birds. "Tell me more, tell me more." His face felt hot in her hands. "Come here," he said, catching her jaw with one hand, chinning his mouth up to hers. Right. There was this. Kissing Levi. This and this and this. "You're not all hands," he whispered later. He was tucked back into the corner of the love seat, and she was resting on top of him. She'd spent hours on top of him, curled over him like a vampire. Even exhausted, she couldn't stop rubbing her numb lips into his flannel chest. "You're all mouth," he said. "Sorry," Kath said, biting her lips. "Don't be stupid," he said, pulling her lips free of her teeth with his thumb. "And don't be sorry, ever again." He hitched her up so her face was above his. Her eyes wandered down to his chin out of habit. "Look at me," he said. Kath looked up at Levi's pastel-colored face. "Too lovely, too good." "I like you here," he said, squeezing her. "With me." She smiled, and her eyes started to drift downward. "Cather." Back up to his eyes. "You know that I'm falling in love with you, right?"
"You knew all along." "Not all along," Penelope said, "but a long, at least since fifth year, when you insisted we follow Baz around the castle every other day. You made me go to all of his football games." "To make sure he wasn't cheating," Simon said, out of habit. "Right," Penelope said. "I was starting to wonder whether you'd ever figure it out. You have figured it out, haven't you?" Simon felt himself smiling and blushing. Not for the first time this week. Not for the 50th.
"Yeah."
From Carry On Simon, posted March 2011, by fanfics.net author Magicath.
Chapter 32. Ren was back, and it felt like someone had turned Kath's world right side up, like she'd been hanging from the floor all year long, trying not to drop through the ceiling. Kath could call Ren now whenever she wanted, without thinking or worrying. They met for lunch and for dinner. They wrapped their schedules around each other's, filling in all the small spaces. "It's like you got your lost arm back or something," Levi said. "Like you're a happy starfish." The way he was beaming, you'd think he was the one who got his sister back. "That was some bad medicine, not talking to your mom, not talking to your sister. That was some Jacob and Esau business."
"I'm still not talking to my mom," Kath said. She had talked to Ren about their mom. A lot, actually. Ren wasn't surprised that Laura hadn't stayed at the hospital. "She doesn't do heavy stuff," Ren said. "I can't believe she even came." "She probably thought you were dying."
"I wasn't dying." "How do you not do the heavy stuff?" Kath said, indignant. "Being a parent is all heavy stuff."
"She doesn't want to be a parent," Ren said. "She wants me to call her Laura."
Kath decided to start calling Laura Mom again in her head. Then she decided to stop calling Laura anything at all in her head. Ren still talked to her, she who would not be named. She said they texted mostly, and that they were friends on Facebook. Ren was okay with that amount of involvement. She seemed to think it was better than nothing and safer than everything. Kath didn't get it. Her brain just didn't work that way. Her heart didn't. But she was done fighting with Ren about it. Now that Kath and Ren were Kath and Ren again, Levi thought they should all be hanging out all the time, the four of them.
Did you know that Hondro's in the ag school? He asked. We've even had classes together. Maybe we should go on lots of double dates, Kath said, and then we can get married on the same day in a double ceremony in matching dresses, and the four of us will light the unity candle all at the same time. Pfft, Levi said. I'm picking out my own dress. The four of them had all hung out together once or twice, incidentally, when Hondro was coming to get Ren, when Levi was coming to get Kath. You don't want to hang out with Ren and me, Kath had tried to tell him. All we do is listen to rap music and talk about Simon. There were only 6 weeks left until the eighth dance came out, and Ren was more stressed out about it than Kath was. I just don't know how you're going to wrap everything up, she'd say. I've got an outline, Kath kept telling her. Yeah, but you've got classes, too. Let me see your outline. Usually they huddled over the laptop in Kath's room. It was closer to campus. Don't expect me to tell you apart, Reagan said when this became a routine. I have short hair, Ren said, and she wears glasses. Stop, Reagan groaned. Don't make me look at you. It's like The Shining in here. Ren cocked her head and squinted. I can't tell if you're being serious. It doesn't matter, Kath said. Ignore her. Reagan scowled at Kath. Are you Zach, or are you Cody? Today they were in Ren's room, just to give Reagan a break. They were sitting on Ren's bed, the laptop resting on both their knees. Courtney was there, too, getting ready to go out. She was studying with the Sigma Chi's tonight. You can't kill Baz, Ren said, pressing the down arrow key and skimming Kath's carry-on outline. They kept coming back to this point. Ren was adamant. I never thought I would kill Baz, Kath said. Ever. But it's the ultimate redemption, you know? If he sacrifices himself for Simon after all their years of fighting, after this one precious year of love, it makes everything they've been through together that much sweeter. I'll have to kill you if you kill Baz, Ren said. And I'll be the first in a long line. I totally think Basil's going to die in the last movie, Courtney said, putting on her jacket. Simon has to kill him. He's a vampire. He'll have to die in the last book first, Kath said. She still couldn't tell whether Courtney was actually stupid or whether she just couldn't be bothered to think before she talked. Ren shook her head at Kath and rolled her eyes, like, don't waste your time with her. Don't work too hard, ladies, Courtney said, waving on her way out. Only Kath waved back. Something had happened between Ren and Courtney. Kath wasn't sure if it was the emergency room or something else. They were still friends. They still ate lunch together. But even small things seemed to irritate Ren, the way Courtney wore heels with jeans, or the way she thought boughten was the past participle of bought. Kath had tried to ask about it, but Ren always shrugged her off. She's wrong, Kath said now. I don't think GTL could ever kill off Baz. And you can't either, Ren said. But it makes him the ultimate romantic hero. Think of Tony in West Side Story, or Jack in Titanic, or Jesus. That's horseshit, Ren said. Kath giggled. Horse shit? Ren elbowed her. Yes. The ultimate act of heroism shouldn't be death. You're always saying you want to give Baz the stories he deserves, to rescue him from Gemma. I just don't think she realizes his potential as a character, Kath said. So you're going to kill him off? Isn't the best revenge supposed to be a life well lived? The punk rock way to end Carry On would be to let Baz and Simon live happily ever after. Kath laughed. I'm serious, Ren said. They've been through so much together, not just in your story, but in canon and in all the hundreds of fics we've read about them. Think of your readers. Think about how good it'll feel to leave us with a little hope. But I don't want it to be cheesy. Happily ever after, or even just together ever after, is not cheesy, Ren said. It's the noblest, like, the most courageous thing two people can shoot for. Kath studied Ren's face. It was like looking at a lightly warped mirror through a glass darkly. Are you in love? Ren blushed and looked down at the laptop. This isn't about me. It's about Baz and Simon. I'm making it about you, Kath said. Are you in love? Ren pulled the computer fully onto her lap and started scrolling back up to the top of Kath's outline. Yes, she said coolly. There's nothing wrong with that. I didn't say there was, Kath grinned. You're in love. Oh, shut up. So are you. Kath started to argue. Give it up, Ren said, pointing at Kath's face. I've seen you look at Levi. What's that thing you wrote about Simon once, that his eyes followed Baz like he was the brightest thing in the room, like he cast everything else into shadow? That's you. You can't look away from him. Kath was pretty sure that Levi actually was the brightest thing in the room, in any room. Bright and warm and crackling, he was a human campfire. I really like him. Have you slept with him? No. Kath knew what Ren meant, knew she didn't want to hear about Levi's grandmother's quilt and the way they'd slept curled up in each other, like stackable chairs. Have you? With Hondro? Ren laughed. Duh. So, are you going to? Kath rubbed her right wrist, her typing wrist. Yeah, she said. I think so. Ren grabbed Kath's arm, then shoved her away. Oh, my God. Will you tell me about it when you do? Duh. Kath pushed her back. Anyway, I don't feel like it has to happen now, like immediately. But he makes me want to, and he makes me think that it'll be okay, that I don't have to worry about screwing it up. Ren rolled her eyes. You're not going to screw it up. Well, I'm not going to nail it either, am I? Remember how long it took me to learn how to drive? And I still can't backwards skate. Think of how many beautiful first times you've written for Simon and Baz. That's totally different. Kath said dismissively. They don't even have the same parts. Ren started giggling and then couldn't stop. She hugged the laptop to her chest. You're more comfortable with their parts than... She couldn't stop giggling. Your own, and you've never even seen their parts. I try to write around it. Kath was giggling too. I know, Ren said, and you do a really good job. When they were done laughing, Ren punched Kath's arm. You'll be fine. The first few times you do it, you only get graded on attendance. Great, Kath scoffed. That makes me feel better. She shook her head. This whole conversation is premature. Ren smiled, but looked serious, like she wanted something. Hey, Kath, what now? Don't kill Baz. I'll even beta for you, if you want. Just don't kill him. Baz deserves a happy ending more than anybody.
Shh. I just hush. I worry. Don't. But Simon, Baz, here. From Carry On Simon, posted September 2011. By fanfics.net author, Magica.
Chapter 33. Have you started? Professor Piper asked. Yes, Kath lied. She couldn't help it. She couldn't say no. Professor Piper was liable to abort this whole endeavor. Kath still hadn't shown her any progress. Because Kath hadn't made any progress. There was just too much else going on. Ren, Levi, Baz, Simon, her dad. Actually, Kath wasn't as worried about her dad as she used to be. That was one nice thing about Ren going home every weekend. On the weekends that Ren was stuck at home, she was so bored, she practically live-blogged the whole thing for Kath, sending constant texts and emails. Dad is making me watch a Lewis and Clark documentary. It's like he's driving me to drink. Ren didn't even know about Kath's fiction writing assignment. Kath had considered telling Professor Piper, again, that she wasn't cut out for fiction writing, that she was practically fiction-phobic. But once Kath was here, looking up at Professor Piper's hopeful, confident face, she could never get it out. She'd rather endure these excruciating checkups than tell the truth, that she only ever thought about her project when she was sitting in this room. "That's wonderful," the professor said, leaning forward off her desk to pat Kath's arm, smiling just the way Kath wanted her to. "I'm so relieved. I thought I was going to have to give you another blood, toil, tears, and sweat speech, and I didn't know if I had one in me." Kath smiled and thought about what a repugnant creature she was. "So tell me about it," the professor said. "May I read what you have so far?" Kath shook her head too quickly, then kept shaking her head at a more normal pace. "No, I mean, not yet. I just, not yet." "Fair enough." Professor Piper looked suspicious, or maybe Kath was just paranoid. "Can you tell me what you're writing about?" "Yeah," Kath said. "Of course. I'm writing about..." She imagined a big wheel spinning around, like on The Price is Right or Wheel of Fortune. Wherever it landed, that would be it. That's what she'd have to write. "I'm writing about..." Professor Piper smiled, like she knew Kath was lying, but still really wanted her to pull this off. "My mom," Kath said, and swallowed. "Your mom?" the professor repeated. "Yeah, I mean, I'm starting there." The professor's face turned almost playful. "Everyone does." "The Eyrie," Kath said. "That's what this is." Levi was sitting against his headboard, and Kath was in his lap, her knees around his hips. She'd spent a lot of time in his lap lately. She liked to be on top, to feel like she could move away if she wanted to. She almost never wanted to. She also spent a lot of time deliberately not thinking about anything else that might be happening in his lap. His lap was abstract territory, as far as Kath was concerned. Unfixed, unmapped. If she thought about Levi's lap in concrete terms, she ended up crawling off the bed and curling up by herself on the love seat. "What's an Eyrie?" he asked.
"An eagle's nest."
"Oh," he nodded. "Right." He ran a hand up through his hair. Kath followed with her own hand, feeling his hair slip silkily through her fingers. He smiled at her like she was someone who'd just ordered a peppermint latte.
"Is everything okay?" she asked.
He nodded and kissed her nose.
"Of course."
When he smiled again, only his mouth moved.
"What's wrong?"
Kath started to move off his lap, but he caught her.
"Nothing. Nothing important. I just..."
He closed his eyes, like he had a headache.
"I got a test back today. It wasn't good, even for me."
"Oh, did you study for it?"
"Clearly not enough."
Kath wasn't sure how much Levi studied. He never cracked a book, but he went everywhere with earbuds. He was always listening to a lecture when she came down to his truck. He always pulled them out when she climbed in. Kath thought back to the way he used to study with Reagan, flashcards spread all over the room, asking question after question.
"It's because of me, isn't it?"
"No."
He shook his head. "Indirectly," she said. "You're not studying with anyone else."
"Cather, look at me. I've never been this happy in my life."
"You don't seem happy."
"I didn't mean right this minute."
He smiled. It was tired, but genuine. Kath wanted to kiss his little pink mouth immobile.
"You need to study," she said.
punching his chest.
Okay.
With Reagan, with all those girls you exploit.
Right.
With me, if you want. I could help you study. He reached up to her ponytail and started tugging out the rubber band. She let her head fall back.
You have enough homework, he said, and thousands of Simon Snow fans hanging on your every word.
Kath looked up at the cracks in the plaster ceiling while he worked the hair tie free. If it meant being here, in the airy with you, she said, instead of you being somewhere else with someone else, I would gladly make the sacrifice. He pulled her hair forward. It fell just past her shoulders.
I can't decide if you love me, he said, or this room.
Both, Kath said, then thought through his choice of words and blushed. He smiled, like he'd tricked her.
Okay, he said, playing with her hair. I'll study more.
He lifted his legs up and bounced her forward.
Take off your glasses.
Why? I thought you liked my glasses.
I love your glasses. I especially love the moment when you take them off.
Do you need to study tonight?
Nope, I just bombed a test. I got nothing to study for.
He bounced her on his legs again. She rolled her eyes and took off her glasses. Levi grinned. What color are your eyes? She opened them as wide as she could.
I can see them, he said, but I can't decide what color they are. What does it say on your driver's license?
Blue.
They're not blue.
They are, on the outside.
And brown in the middle, he said, and gray on the edge, and green in between.
Kath shrugged and looked down at his neck. There was a mole just below his ear, and another one at the bottom of his throat. He was paler now than when she'd first met him. He'd seemed so tan that day, like a little kid who'd been playing outside all summer. What are you doing this summer? She asked.
Working on the ranch.
Will I see you?
Yes.
When?
We'll make it work.
He touched her cheek. Not like this. Levi looked around the room and took her face in his hands.
Not like this, he conceded.
Kath nodded and bent to kiss the spot under his ear. You're sure you don't need to study?
Do you?
No, she said. It's Friday. Levi had just shaved, so his jaw and neck were something extra. Soft plus minty. She ran a hand down the front of his flannel shirt until her fingers caught at the first button and decided right then to unbutton it. Levi inhaled. She found the next button. When she'd finished with the third, he pulled away from her and yanked the shirt up over his head. The t-shirt came next. Kath looked down at his chest like she'd never seen anything like it before, like she'd never been to a public swimming pool. You look thinner with your clothes on, she said with surprise, tracing her fingers over his shoulders. He laughed.
Is that a compliment?
I didn't expect you to look so strong. He tried to kiss her, but she leaned back. She wasn't ready to look away. Levi wasn't noticeably muscular, not like Hondro, not even like Abel. But he was firm and nicely shaped, muscle curving around his shoulders, over his arms, across his chest. Kath wanted to go back and rewrite every scene she'd ever written about Baz or Simon's chests. She'd written them flat and sharp and hard. Levi was all soft motion and breath, curves and warm hollows. Levi's chest was a living thing. You're beautiful, she said.
That's you.
Don't argue with me. You're beautiful. Taking off Levi's shirt had been such an inspired idea. Kath was thinking about losing her own. Levi was thinking about it, too. He was playing with the hem, sliding his fingers just underneath it while they kissed. Kissed. Kath loved that word. She used it sparingly in her fic. Just because it felt so powerful. It felt like kissing to say it. Well done, English language. Levi kissed with his jaw and his bottom lip. She hadn't done this with enough people to know whether that was distinctive, but she felt like it was. He kissed her and ran his fingers under her hem, and if she just raised her arms now, he'd probably take care of her shirt. She could count on him to pitch in. Kath couldn't remember what she was waiting for, what she was so scared of. Was she waiting for marriage? At the moment, it was hard to think beyond Levi, whom she was nowhere near marrying. That fact only made her want him more, because if she didn't end up marrying Levi, she wouldn't have lifetime access to his chest and his lips and whatever might be happening in his lap. What if they married other people? She should probably have sex with him now, while she still could. Flawed logic, her brain was shouting, miserably flawed. How do you even know when you're anywhere near marrying someone? She wondered. Is that question about time? Or distance? Kath's phone chimed. Levi licked her mouth like he was trying to get the last bit of jam off the back of her throat. Her phone chimed again. It probably wasn't important. Wren complaining about their dad, or their dad complaining about Wren, or one of them being rushed to a hospital. Kath pulled away, catching Levi's hands and trying to catch her breath. Let me check, she said. Wren. He nodded and pulled his hands away from her shirt. Kath resisted the urge to slide down his legs like he was a hobby horse. It would feel good, but she might never recover her dignity. Instead, she climbed drunkenly off him, reaching off the bed for her phone. He crawled after her, trying to read over her shoulder. Wren, hey, you should come to Omaha. Hondro's here. We're going dancing later at Guacamaya. Fun. Come. Can't, Kath texted back. Levi time. She threw her phone on the floor, then tried to find her way back to Levi's lap, but he'd already leaned back against the headboard with his knees up, lap unavailable. She tried to move his knees out of the way, but he wouldn't let her. He was looking at her like he was still trying to figure out what color her eyes were. Is everything okay? She asked, kneeling in front of him. Yeah. Everything okay on your end? He moved his chin toward her phone. Kath nodded. Perfectly. Levi nodded. Kath nodded again. Then she lifted her arms up over her head.
Agatha wrung her fingers in her cape miserably, but still prettily. Even Agatha's tear-stained face was a thing of beauty. Simon wanted to tell her it was all right, to forget the whole scene with Baz in the forest. Agatha standing in the moonlight, holding both of Baz's pale hands in her own. Just tell me, Simon said, his voice shaking. I don't know what to say, she wept. There's you, and you're good, and you're right. And then there's him, and he's different. He's a monster. Simon clenched his square jaw. Agatha just nodded. Perhaps. From Chapter 18, Simon Snow and the Seventh Oak, copyright 2010 by Gemma T. Leslie.
Chapter 34. They stepped into the elevator, and Kath pressed 9. I can't believe we've been arguing for 15 minutes about whether Simon Snow should reach for his sword or his wand in a lame piece of fan fiction. And by I can't believe, Kath meant, I can't believe how happy I am. Wren was coming up to her room, and they were going to work on Carry On until Levi was done with work. This was the routine now. Kath liked routines. She felt flushed with serotonin. Wren shoved her. It's not lame. It's important. Only to me. And me. And everyone else who's reading. And besides, you by yourself should be enough. You've been working on this for almost 2 years. This is your life's work.
God, that's pathetic. I'm at your life's work so far, and it's extremely impressive. It would be even if you didn't have thousands of fans. Hondro can't believe how many readers you have. He thinks you should try to monetize it. He doesn't really get the whole fan fiction thing. We tried to watch The Mage's Heir, and he fell asleep. Kath gasped, only partly in jest. You never told me he was a non-believer. I wanted you to get to know him first. What about Levi? The elevator doors opened, and they got off on Kath's floor. He loves it, she said. Simon Snow, fan fiction, everything. He makes me read my stuff out loud to him. Isn't he squicked by the slash? No, he's zen. Why, is Hondro? Oh, yeah. Is he squicked by gay people? No. Well, maybe. It's more the idea of straight girls writing about gay boys. He thinks it's deviant. That made Kath giggle. Then Ren started giggling with her. He thinks I'm the deviant one, Kath said. Shut up. Ren shoved her again. Kath stopped. There was a boy standing outside her room. The wrong boy. What's up? Ren stopped too. Did you forget something?
Kath, Nick said, taking a few steps forward. Hey, I've been waiting for you.
Hey, Kath said. Hey, Nick.
Hey, he said again.
Kath was still 6 feet away from her room. She didn't want to come any closer. What are you doing here?
Nick's eyebrows were low, and his mouth was open. She could see his tongue sliding along his teeth.
I just wanted to talk to you.
Is this your library guy? Ren asked, looking at him like he was a photo on Facebook, not a human being.
No, Kath said, reacting more to the "you're" than to anything else.
Nick glanced at Ren, then decided to ignore her.
Look, Kath.
You couldn't just call? Kath asked.
I didn't have your cell number. I tried to call your room phone. You're in the student directory. I left a bunch of voicemails.
We have voicemail?
The door to her room opened abruptly, and Reagan looked out.
Is this yours?
She asked Kath, nodding at Nick.
No, Kath said.
I didn't think so. I told him he had to wait outside.
You were right, Ren said, not very quietly. He does look very old world.
Reagan and Ren didn't know what happened with Nick, how he'd used Kath. All they knew was that she didn't want to talk about him anymore, and that she refused to go to Love Library. She'd been too embarrassed to tell anyone the details. Kath didn't feel embarrassed now that she was looking right at him. She felt angry, robbed. She'd written some good stuff with Nick, and now she'd never get it back. If she tried to use any of those lines, any of those jokes, people could say she stole them from him. Like she'd ever steal anything from Nick, except for the paisley scarf he was wearing. She'd always liked that scarf. But Nick could keep his shitty second-person present tense, and all his skinny girl characters with nicotine-stained fingers. Those girls were telling Kath's jokes now. It was infuriating.
Look, I just need to talk to you, he said. It won't take long.
So talk, Ren said.
Yeah, Reagan said, leaning against the door jamb. Talk.
Nick looked like he was waiting for Kath to bail him out, but she wasn't in the mood. She thought about walking away and leaving him here to deal with Reagan and Ren, who were difficult and unpleasant a lot of the time, even if they liked you.
Go ahead, Kath said. I'm listening.
Okay.
Nick cleared his throat.
Fine. I came to tell you, to tell Kath,
he looked at her,
that my story was selected for Prairie Schooner. That's the university's literary journal, he said to Ren. It's an incredible honor for an undergraduate.
Congratulations, Kath said, feeling all used up all over again, like he was robbing her again, this time at gunpoint.
Nick nodded.
Yeah, well, the faculty advisor, you know, Professor Piper, she.
He looked around the hallway, agitated, then gave a little huff.
She knows that you helped me out on my story, and she thought it would be nice if we shared the credit.
His story. Ren looked at Kath.
Nice? Kath asked. It's a prestigious journal, Nick said, and it will be a full co-author credit. We can even do it alphabetically. Your name will come first.
Kath felt someone's hand on her back.
Hey, Levi said, kissing the top of her head. Got off early.
Hey, he said brightly to Nick, holding his arm out and around Kath to shake hands.
I'm Levi.
Nick took his hand, looking confused and hassled.
Nick.
Nick from the library, Levi said, still cheerful, resting his arm around Kath's shoulders.
Nick looked back at Kath. So what do you think? Is that cool? Will you tell Professor Piper that it's cool?
I don't know, Kath said. It's just. After everything, I'm not sure I'm comfortable.
He pressed his navy blue eyes into her. You've got to say yes, Kath. This is such an opportunity for me. You know how badly I want this.
Then take it, Kath said quietly.
She was trying to pretend that everyone in her whole life wasn't standing right there listening.
You can have it, Nick. You don't have to share it with me.
Nick was pretending too. I can't, he said, moving another step closer. Professor Piper says it runs with both of our names or not at all. Kath, please.
The hallway had gotten very quiet.
Reagan was looking at Nick like she was already tying him to the railroad tracks. Ren was looking at him like she was one of the cool girls in his stories, oozing contempt.
Levi was smiling, like he'd smiled at those drunk guys at Muggsy's before he'd talked Hondro into throwing a punch.
Kath went back to pretending they weren't there. She thought about Nick's story, their story, about everything she'd poured into it, and the chance now that she might get something out.
And then she thought about sitting next to Nick in the stacks, trying to get him to let go of the notebook. Levi squeezed her shoulder. I'm sorry, Kath said, but I don't want any credit. You were right all along. It's your story.
No, he said, clenching his teeth. I can't lose this.
You'll get another opportunity. You're a great writer, Nick, she said, and meant it. You don't need me.
No, I can't lose this. I already lost my teaching assistantship because of you.
Kath stepped back, into Levi. Reagan opened the door wider, and Ren pushed past Nick, pushing Kath into the room.
It was nice to meet you, Levi said.
And you'd have to really know Levi to know that he didn't mean it. Nick held his ground, like he still thought he might talk Kath into helping him. Reagan kicked the door shut in his face.
Were you really going out with that guy? She asked before it had quite closed. Was that your library boyfriend?
Writing partner, Kath said, avoiding them all, setting her bag on her desk.
What a douche, Reagan muttered. I'm pretty sure my mom has that scarf.
Did he steal your story? Ren asked. The one you were working on together? No, not exactly. Kath spun around. It doesn't matter, she said, with as much iron as she could. Okay? She looked up at all three faces, all ready to be offended for her, and she realized that it really didn't matter. Nick, who couldn't write his own anti-love story without her, was ancient history.
Kath grinned at Levi. Are you okay? He asked, grinning back because he couldn't help it.
Bless him. Bless him to infinity and beyond. I'm great, she said. Her sister was still sizing Kath up. Great, Ren said, deciding something.
Okay, great.
Then she turned to Levi and punched his arm. All right, Lieutenant Starbuck. Since you're here, you might as well take me to farmhouse. And you might as well get us white chocolate mochas on the way.
Might as well leave now, Levi said gamely. I'm parked in the fire lane.
Kath picked up her bag again.
And I want you both to know,
Levi said, opening the door. Kath peeked out to make sure Nick was gone.
That I know that was a Battlestar Galactica reference.
Yeah, 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 Ren said. You're a first-class geek. When they got to Hondro's frat house, Levi got out again to help Ren. He only sometimes helped Kath in and out anymore. Usually she was already there before he got a chance. When Ren got out of the truck, Kath reluctantly slid away from the driver's seat and buckled her seatbelt. Levi started the truck and shifted gears without looking at her. He hadn't really looked at her since they'd left her room. "Are you all right?" she asked.
"Yeah, just hungry. Are you hungry?"
He still didn't look at her. "Is this about Nick?" she asked. She realized that she was waiting for it to be about Nick.
"No," Levi said. "Should it be? You seemed like you didn't want to talk about him."
"I don't," Kath said.
"Okay. Are you hungry?"
"No. Are you jealous?"
"No."
He shook his head like he was shaking something off. Then he turned to her and smiled.
"Do you want me to be?"
He raised an eyebrow.
"I can throw a big tantrum if you like that sort of thing."
"I don't think so," Kath said. "Thanks, though."
"Good. I'm too hungry to rage. Do you mind if we stop somewhere?"
"No," she said.
"Or I could make you something if you want. Eggs."
Levi beamed at her.
"God, yes. Can I watch?"
Kath smiled. "You're ridiculous." Levi wanted an omelet. He got the eggs and cheese out of the refrigerator, and Kath found a pan and butter. This kitchen almost didn't remind Kath of the missing blonde girl anymore. That girl had no staying power. Kath had just cracked 3 eggs when Levi tugged on her ponytail.
"Hey."
"Yeah?"
"Why doesn't your sister like me?"
"Everyone likes you," Kath said, whisking the eggs with a fork.
"Then how come you only hang out with her when I'm not around?"
Kath glanced back at him. He was leaning against the sink. "Cheese," she said, nodding at his hands. "Great." When he just kept looking at her, Kath said, "Maybe I like having you all to myself."
"Maybe," he said, raking one hand into his hair. "Maybe I embarrass you."
She poured the eggs into the pan and reached for the cheese grater herself. "What am I embarrassed by? Your rangy good looks or your irresistible personality?"
"Alejandro is a Regent scholar," Levi said softly behind her, "and his family owns half the sand hills."
"Wait, what?" Kath set everything down and turned back to him. "You really think I'm embarrassed by you?" Levi smiled gently and shrugged.
"I'm not angry, sweetheart."
"No, you're crazy. I didn't even know those things about Hondro. And anyway, who cares?" Kath reached up to his chest and clenched her fists in his black sweatshirt. "God, Levi, look at you. You're..." She didn't have the words for what Levi was. He was a cave painting. He was the red balloon. She lifted her heels and pulled him forward until his face was so close she could look at only one of his eyes at a time. "You're magic," she said. Levi's eyes smiled almost shut. She kissed the corner of his mouth, and he moved his face to catch her lips. When Kath heard the eggs start to snap, she pulled away, but Levi took hold of her waist.
"Why, then?" he asked. "Doesn't Ren like me? Do I cramp your style? I can tell you don't want me around when she's there."
Kath pushed against his chest, away, and went back to the stove, quickly grating the cheese over the eggs. "It has nothing to do with you." Levi tried to move into her line of sight, leaning against the counter next to the stove.
"How do you figure?"
"It's just nothing. It's weird," she said. "It'd be different if you'd grown up with us, or if you'd met us both at the same time."
"What would be different?"
Kath shrugged and scraped at the omelet with a wooden spatula. "Then I would know that you had enough information to choose me."
Levi leaned over the stove, trying again to catch her eye.
Get back, Kath said. You're going to burn yourself.
He backed up, but only a few inches.
Of course I chose you.
But you didn't know Ren.
Kath.
She wished there was more to do with omelets than watch them.
I know you think she's pretty.
You know that because I think you're pretty.
You said she was hot.
When?
When you met her.
Levi looked confused for a second, one eyebrow arched beautifully.
You called her Superman, Kath said.
Cather, he said, remembering. I was trying to get your attention. I was trying to say that you were hot without actually saying it.
Well, it sucked.
I'm sorry.
He reached out for her waist again. She kept looking down at the eggs.
I know that you like me, she said.
You know that I love you.
Kath kept staring at the pan.
But she's a lot like me. Some of our best friends couldn't even tell us apart. And then, when they could, it would be because Ren was the better one, because she talked more or smiled more or just flat out looked better.
I can tell you apart just fine.
Long hair, glasses.
Kath, come on. Look at me.
He pulled at her belt loops, and she flipped the omelet before she let herself turn toward him.
I can tell you apart, he said.
We sound the same. We kind of talk the same. We have all the same gestures.
True, he said, nodding, holding her chin up. But it's almost like that makes your differences more dramatic.
What do you mean?
It means sometimes your sister will say something, and it will sort of shock me to hear her saying it with your voice.
Kath looked up to his eyes, unsure. They were big and earnest.
Like what?
I can't think of anything specific, he said.
It's like she smiles more than you. But she's harder somehow. Closed up.
I'm the one who never leaves my room.
I'm not explaining this right. I like Ren, he said, what I know of her. But she's more forceful than you.
Confident.
Partly, maybe. More like she takes what she wants from a situation.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, I know, Levi said, but it's not you. You don't push through every moment. You pay attention. You take everything in. I like that about you.
I like that better.
Kath closed her eyes and felt tears catch on her cheeks.
I like your glasses, he said.
I like your Simon Snow t-shirts.
I like that you don't smile at everyone, because then when you smile at me, Cather.
He kissed her mouth.
Look at me.
She did.
I choose you over everyone.
Kath took a painful breath and reached up with one hand to touch his chin.
I love you, she said. Levi.
Levi's face broke open just before he kissed her. He pulled away again a few seconds later.
Say it again.
She had to make him another omelet.
Do you know what the most disappointing thing is about being a magician? Penelope shook her head and rolled her eyes, a combination she'd gotten terribly good at over the years. Don't be silly, Simon. There's nothing disappointing about magic. There is, he argued, only partly, just to tease her. I always figured we'd learn a way to fly by now. Oh, pish, Penelope said. Anyone can fly. Anyone with a friend. She held her ringed hand out to him and grinned. Up, up, and away! Simon felt the steps drift away from him and laughed his way through a slow somersault. When he was upright again, he leveled his wand at Penelope. From Chapter 11, Simon Snow and the Five Blades, copyright 2008, by Gemma T. Leslie.
Chapter 35.
Look at them, Reagan said, shaking her head fondly. They're all grown up. Kath turned to the cereal bar and watched two very hungover freshmen fumble with the scoops. I can still remember the night they came home with their first My Little Pony tattoos, Reagan said. And the morning that we noticed those tattoos were infected, Kath added, drinking her tomato juice. That's something Kath would miss about the dorms. Four different kinds of juice on tap, including tomato. Where else could you get tomato juice? Reagan hated watching her drink it. It's like you're drinking blood, Reagan would say, if blood had the consistency of gravy. Reagan was still gazing at the hungover girls. I wonder how many familiar faces we'll see next year. Every year it's a new batch, and most of them don't come back to the dorms for a second tour. Next year, Kath said, I won't make the mistake of getting so attached. Reagan snorted. We need to turn in our housing forms if we want the same room next year. Kath set down her juice glass. Wait, are you saying you want to live with me again? F yeah, you're never even home. It's like I've finally got a room to myself. Kath smiled, then took another long pull of tomato juice. Well, I'll think about it. Do you have any more hot ex-boyfriends? Ren was right. She'd been on Kath to post a chapter of Carry On, Simon every single night. Otherwise, you're never going to beat the eighth dance. They were going to go to the midnight release party at the Bookworm back in Omaha. Levi wanted to go, too. Are we going to dress up in costumes? He'd asked the other night up in his room. We haven't done costumes since junior high. Kath was sitting on the love seat with her laptop. She could write with him in the room now. She was so focused on Carry On, she could have written in a room full of circus animals. Damn, he said. I wanted to do costumes. Who do you want to go as? The mage. Or maybe one of the vampires. Count Vidalia. Or Baz. Would that make you wild with desire?
I'm already wild with desire,
she said from across the room.
Sorry, Kath said, rubbing her eyes. Levi had been needling her all night, teasing her, trying to get her to come out of her head and play. I just need to finish this chapter if I want Ren to read it before she falls asleep. Kath was so close to the end of Carry On that every chapter felt important. If she wrote something stupid now, she wouldn't be able to fix it or rein it in later. There was no room left for filler. Every chapter meant the resolution of a plotline or a character's last big scene. She wanted all of them to get the ending they deserved, not just Baz and Simon and Agatha and Penelope, but all the other characters, too. Declan, the reluctant vampire hunter, Ebb, the goatherd, Professor Benedict, Coach Mac. Kath was trying not to pay attention to her hit counts. That just added more pressure, but she knew they were off the chart. In the tens of thousands. She was getting so many comments that Ren had taken to handling them for her, using Kath's profile to thank people and answer basic questions. Kath was keeping up in her classes, but just barely. All her other assignments felt like the hoops she had to jump through to get to Simon and Baz. One thing about writing this much. Her brain never really shifted out of the world of mages. When she sat down to write, she didn't have to wade back into the story slowly, waiting to get used to the temperature. She was just there, all the time, all day. Real life was something happening in her peripheral vision. Her laptop snapped shut, and Kath pulled back her fingers just in time. She hadn't even noticed Levi moving over to the love seat. He took her computer and gingerly set it on the floor.
Commercial break.
Books don't have commercials.
I'm not much of a book person, he said, pulling her into his lap. Intermission, then?
Kath climbed onto him reluctantly, still thinking about the last thing she'd typed, not sure she wanted to leave it behind. Books don't have intermissions, either.
What do they have?
Endings.
His hands were on her hips. You'll get there, he said, nosing at the collar of her t-shirt.
His hair tickled her chin, and it broke the spell in Kath's head, or cast a new one. Okay, she sighed, kissing his head and rocking into his stomach. Okay. Intermission. You've got to give Penelope her own chapter, Ren said. They were walking back to the dorms, sloshing through puddles. Ren had yellow rubber boots, and she kept jumping into puddles, soaking Kath's legs and ankles. Where would I put it? Kath puffed. The snow was melting, but she could still see her breath. I should have written it 2 weeks ago. Now it'll seem forced. This is why real authors wait until they've got a whole book before they show anybody. I'd kill to go back to the beginning and rewrite. You're a real author, Ren said, splashing. You're like Dickens. He wrote in installments, too. I'm going to destroy those boots. Jealous? Ren stepped in another puddle. I'm not jealous. They're gross. I bet they make your feet sweat. Who cares? Nobody can tell. I'll be able to tell when you get back to my room and take them off. They're disgusting. Hey, Ren said, I sort of want to talk to you about that. What? Your room. Rooms. Roommates. I was thinking that next year we could room together. We could live in Pound if you want. I don't care. Kath stopped and turned to her sister. Ren kept walking for a second before she noticed and stopped too. You want to be roommates? Kath asked. Ren was nervous. She shrugged. Yeah, if you want to. If you're not still mad about everything. I'm not mad, Kath said. She remembered the day last summer when Ren told her she didn't want to live together. Kath had never felt so betrayed, almost never. I'm not mad, she said again, this time really meaning it. Ren's lips quirked up, and she stamped a puddle between them. Good. But I can't, Kath said. Ren's face fell. What do you mean? Well, I already told Reagan I'd live with her again. But Reagan hates you. What? No, she doesn't. Why would you say that? She's so mean to you. That's just her way. I think I'm her best girlfriend, actually. Oh, Ren said. She looked small and wet. Kath wasn't sure what to say. You're my best friend, Kath said awkwardly. You know, built in. For life. Ren nodded. Yeah, no, it's okay. I should have thought of that. Of you guys living together again. She started walking, and Kath followed. What about Courtney? She's moving into the Delta Gamma house. Oh, Kath said. I forgot she was a pledge. But that's not why I asked you, Ren said, like it was important to say so. You should move to Pound. You could live on our floor. I'm serious. Ren smiled and squared her shoulders, already recovering herself. Yeah, she said. Okay, why not? It's closer to campus. Kath leapt into the next big puddle, soaking Ren up to her thighs. Ren jumped and screamed, and it was totally worth it. Kath's feet were already soaked.
Morgan's grace, Simon, slow down!
Penelope held an arm out in front of his chest and glanced around the weirdly lit courtyard. There's more than one way through a flaming gate. From Chapter 11, Simon Snow and the Third Gate. Copyright 2004 by Gemma T. Leslie.
Chapter 36. Kath had been writing for 4 hours, and when she heard someone knocking at her door, it felt like she was standing at the bottom of a lake, looking up at the sun. It was Levi. Hey, she said, putting on her glasses. Why didn't you text? I would have come down.
I did, he said, kissing her forehead.
She took her phone out of her pocket. She'd missed 2 texts and a call. Her ringer was turned off. Sorry, she said, shaking her head. Let me just pack up. Levi fell onto her bed and watched. Seeing him there, leaning against the wall, brought back so many memories and so much tenderness, she climbed onto the bed and started kissing his face all over. He grinned and draped his long arms around her.
Do you have much writing to do?
Yeah, she said, rubbing her chin into his. Miles to go before I sleep.
Have you shown anything to your professor yet?
Kath had just started to bite his chin, and she pulled away, looking at the teeth marks. What do you mean?
Have you been turning stuff in piece by piece, or are you waiting until the whole story is done?
I've been working on Carry On.
No, I know, he said, smiling and smoothing his hand over her hair. But I was wondering about your fiction writing project. I want you to read it to me when you're done.
Kath sat back on the bed. Levi's hands didn't leave her head and her hip. I'm not doing that, she said.
You don't want to read it to me? Is it too personal or something?
No, I'm not. I'm not going to do it. Levi's smile faded. He still didn't understand. I'm not writing it, she said. It was a mistake to say that I would.
His hands tightened on her. No, it wasn't. What do you mean? You haven't started?
Kath sat back farther, stepping off the bed and going to pack her laptop. I was wrong when I told my professor I could do it. I can't. I don't have an idea, and it's just too much. I'm not sure I'm even going to finish Carry On.
Of course you'll finish.
She looked up at him sharply. I've only got 9 days left. Levi still seemed confused, and maybe a little hurt.
You've got 12 days left until the end of the semester, and about 14 before I go back to Arnold, but as far as I can tell, you've got the rest of your life to finish Carry On.
Kath felt her face go hard. You don't understand, she said, at all.
So explain it to me.
Simon Snow and the Eighth Dance comes out in 9 days. Levi shrugged.
So?
So, I've been working 2 years toward this.
Toward finishing Carry On?
Yes, and I have to finish before the series ends.
Why? Did Gemma Leslie challenge you to a race?
Kath jammed the knotted power cord into her bag. You don't understand. Levi sighed harshly and ran his fingers through his hair.
You're right, I don't.
Kath's hands were trembling as she pushed them through the arms of her jacket, a thick cable-knit sweater lined with fleece.
I don't understand how you could throw this class away twice, Levi said, frowning and flustered. I have to fight for every grade I get. I'd kill for a second chance at most of my classes, and you're just walking away from this assignment because you don't feel like it, because you've got this arbitrary deadline, and it's all you can see.
I don't want to talk about this, she said.
You don't want to talk at all.
You're right. I don't have time right now to argue with you. It was the wrong thing to say. Levi looked up at her, stricken. Kath fumbled for something else to say, but everything in her reach was wrong. Maybe I should just stay here tonight. His eyes swept over her, more coolly than she would have thought possible. There were 2 deep lines between his eyebrows.
Right, he said, standing up. See you in 9 days.
He was out the door before she could stutter out, What? Kath wasn't trying to pick a 9-day fight. She just wanted to escape from tonight. She didn't have time to feel guilty about fiction writing. Even thinking about that stupid story made Kath feel clawed up and open. She lay down on her bed and started to cry. Her pillow didn't smell like Levi. It didn't smell like either of them. He didn't understand. When the last Simon Snow book came out, it was over. Everything. All these years of imagining and reimagining, Gemma T. Leslie would get the last word, and that would be it. Everything Kath had built in the last 2 years would become alternate universe, officially non-compliant. The thought made her giggle wetly, pathetically, into her pillow. As if beating GTL to the punch made any difference. As if Kath could actually make Baz and Simon live happily ever after just by saying it was so. Sorry, Gemma, I appreciate what you've done here, but I think we can all agree that it was supposed to end like this. It wasn't a race. Gemma T. Leslie didn't even know Kath existed, thank God. And yet, when Kath closed her eyes, all she could see was Baz and Simon. All she could hear was them talking in her head. They were hers, the way they'd always been hers. They loved each other because she believed they did. They needed her to fix everything for them. They needed her to carry them through. Baz and Simon in her head, Levi in her stomach. Levi somewhere, gone. In 9 days, it would be over. In 12 days, Kath wouldn't be a freshman anymore. And in 14... God, she was an idiot. Was she always going to be this stupid? Her whole miserable life? Kath cried until it felt pointless, then stumbled off the bed to get a drink of water. When she opened the door, Levi was sitting in the hallway, his legs bent in front of him, hunched forward on his knees. He looked up when she stepped out. "I'm such an idiot," he said. Kath fell between his knees and hugged him. "I can't believe I said that," he said. "I can't even go 9 hours without seeing you."
"No, you're right," Kath said. "I've been acting crazy. This whole thing is crazy. It isn't even real."
"That's not what I meant. It is real. You have to finish."
"Yeah," she said, kissing his chin, trying to remember where she'd left off. "But not today. You were right. There's time. They'll wait for me."
She pushed her hands inside his jacket. He held her by her shoulders.
"You do what you have to," he said. "Just let me be there. For the next 2 weeks, okay?"
She nodded. 14 days. With Levi. And then curtains closed on this year.
"Maybe fighting him isn't the answer," Simon said.
"What?"
Baz was leaning against the tree, trying to catch his breath. His hair was hanging in slimy tendrils, and his face was smeared with muck and blood. Simon probably looked even worse.
"You're not giving up now,"
Baz said, reaching for Simon's chest and pulling him forward fiercely by the buckled straps of his cape.
"I won't let you." "I'm not giving up," Simon said. "I just... maybe fighting isn't the answer. It wasn't the answer with you."
Baz arched an elegant brow. "Are you going to snog the humdrum? Is that your plan? Because he's 11, and he looks just like you. That's both vain and deviant, Snow, even for you." Simon managed the laugh, and raised a hand to the back of Baz's neck, holding him firmly. "I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm done fighting, Baz. If we go on like this, there won't be anything left to fight for." From Carry On Simon, posted April 2012, by fanfics.net author Magic Cat.
Chapter 37.
"Cather?" "Hey, wake up."
"No."
"Yes."
"Why?"
"I have to go to work. If we don't leave soon, I'll be late."
Kath opened her eyes. Levi had already showered and put on his gothy Starbucks clothes. He smelled like an actual Irish spring.
"Can I stay?" she asked.
"Here?"
"Yeah."
"You'll be stuck here all day."
"I like here. And anyway, I'm just writing."
He grinned.
"Okay, sure. I'll bring back dinner. You write all the words," he said, kissing her forehead. "Give Simon and Baz my best."
She thought she might go back to sleep, but she couldn't. She got up and took a shower. Now she smelled like Levi, glad not to see anyone else in the hall. At least one of his roommates was home. She could hear music. Kath climbed back to Levi's room. It had been warm last night, and they'd fallen asleep with the windows open. But the weather had shifted. It was too cold in here now, especially for someone with wet hair. She grabbed her laptop and crawled under his quilt,
doubling it up on top of her. She didn't want to close the windows. She pressed the power button and waited for her computer to wake up. Then she opened a Word document and watched the cursor blink at her. She could see her face in the blank screen. 10,000 words, and none of them had to be good. Only one other person would ever read them. It didn't even matter where Kath started, as long as she finished. She started typing. I sat on the back steps. No. She sat on the back steps. Every word felt heavy and hurt, like Kath was chipping them one by one out of her stomach. A plane flew overhead, and that was wrong, all wrong, and her sister knew it too, because she squeezed her hand like they'd both disappear if she didn't. This wasn't good, but it was something. Kath could always change it later. That was the beauty in stacking up words. They got cheaper the more you had of them. It would feel good to come back and cut this when she'd worked her way to something better. The plane was flying so low, moving so sluggishly through the sky, you'd think it was just choosing the perfect rooftop to land on. They could hear the engine. It sounded closer than the voices shouting inside the house. Her sister reached up like she might touch it, like she might grab on. The girl squeezed her sister's other hand, trying to anchor her to the steps. If you leave, she thought, I'm going with you. Sometimes writing is running downhill, your fingers jerking behind you on the keyboard, the way your legs do when they can't quite keep up with gravity. Kath fell and fell, leaving a trail of messy words and bad similes behind her. Sometimes her chin was trembling. Sometimes she wiped her eyes on her sweater. When she took a break, she was starving, and she had to pee so bad she barely made it down to the third-floor bathroom. She found a protein bar in Levi's backpack, climbed back into his bed, then kept writing until she heard him running up the stairs. She closed the laptop before the door opened, and the sight of him smiling made her eyes burn right down to her throat. Stop bouncing, Ren snapped. You're making us look like nerds.
Right, Reagan said. That's what's making us look like nerds, the bouncing.
Levi smiled down at Kath.
Sorry, the atmosphere is getting to me.
He was wearing her red carry-on t-shirt over a long-sleeved black t-shirt, and for some reason, the sight of Baz and Simon facing off across his chest was disturbingly hot. It's okay, she said. The atmosphere was getting to her, too. They'd been waiting in line for more than 2 hours. The bookstore was playing the Simon Snow movie soundtracks, and there were people everywhere. Kath recognized a few of them from past midnight releases. It was like they were all part of a club that met every couple years. 11:58. The booksellers started setting out big boxes of books, special boxes, dark blue with gold stars. The manager of the store was wearing a cape and an all-wrong pointed witch's hat. Nobody at Watford wore pointy hats. She stood on a chair and tapped one of the cash registers with a magic wand that looked like something Tinkerbell would carry. Kath rolled her eyes. "Spare me the theater," Reagan said. "I've got a final tomorrow." Levi was bouncing again. The manager rang up the first person in line with great ceremony, and everyone in the store started applauding. The line jerked forward, and a few minutes later, Kath was there at the register, and the clerk was handing her a book that was at least 3 inches thick. The dust jacket felt like velvet. Kath stepped away from the register, trying to get out of the way, clutching the book with both hands. There was an illustration of Simon on the front, holding up the Sword of Mages under a sky full of stars.
"Are you okay?"
she heard someone, Levi, ask.
"Hey, are you crying?"
Kath ran her fingers along the cover, over the raised gold type. Then someone else ran right into her, pushing the book into Kath's chest, pushing 2 books into her chest. Kath looked up just as Ren threw an arm around her. They're both crying, Kath heard Reagan say. I can't even watch. Kath freed an arm to wrap around her sister. I can't believe it's really over, she whispered. Ren held her tight and shook her head. She really was crying, too. Don't be so melodramatic, Kath. Ren laughed hoarsely. It's never over. It's Simon.
Simon stepped toward the humdrum. He'd never been this close. The heat and the pull were almost too much for him. He felt like the humdrum would suck his heart through his chest, his thoughts from his head. I created you with my hunger, Simon said, with my need for magic. With your capacity, it said. Simon shrugged, a Herculean effort in the presence and pressure of the humdrum. Simon had spent his whole life, well, the last 8 years of it, trying to become more powerful, trying to live up to his destiny, trying to become the sort of magician, maybe the only magician, who could defeat the insidious humdrum. And all he'd ever done was stoke the humdrum's need. Simon took the last step forward. I'm not hungry anymore. From Chapter 27, Simon Snow and the Eighth Dance. Copyright 2012 by Gemma T. Leslie.
Chapter 38. It was her last Friday night in Pound Hall. There was a boy in her room. In Kath's bed, taking up way more than his fair share of space and eating the rest of her peanut butter. He pulled the spoon out of his mouth.
Did you turn it in?
Slid it under her door. I'll email it, too, just in case.
Are you going to read it to me?
Pfft. Kath got the Eighth Dance out of her bag and dropped it onto the bed. Priorities, she said. Make room. Levi scrunched his nose and tried to suck the peanut butter off his teeth. Kath shoved his shoulder. Make room! And he grinned, leaning back against her pillow and patting the bed between his bent legs. She climbed between his knees, and he put his arms around her, pulling her in close. She felt his chin on the back of her head. Are you getting peanut butter in my hair?
It's preventative. When I get gum in your hair later, it won't stick.
She opened the book and tried to find their place. It was massive. They'd been reading for 2 days, taking breaks between studying and finals, and they still had 400 pages left. They had one weekend left together, and Kath was going to read until she ran out of air. I can't believe I haven't been spoiled yet, she said.
I was planning to despoil you later, Levi said, but if you want, we can do that first.
I had lunch with Ren today, and she almost spoiled me 4 different times. I don't dare get on the internet. People are blabbing all over fanfics.
I made a sign to wear on my apron that says, Don't tell me what happens to Simon Snow.
Maybe I should write that on my forehead, Kath said.
I could make that part of the despoiling.
Do you remember where we left off? I dropped the bookmark.
Page 319. The humdrum had turned the merwolves against the school, and they were crawling around, dragging their fins, getting everything wet, and gnashing their teeth at little kids. And then Penelope Bunce, the hero of our story, cast a spell that made the clouds rain silver.
I think Baz cast that spell.
Yeah, but Penelope watched. She was instrumental.
Page 319, Kath said. Are you ready? Levi jostled her around, kissed her neck a few times, then bit it, pinched Kath between his knees, and squeezed her middle.
Ready.
Kath imagined his eyes closing, then cleared her throat. The silver bounced like mercury off Simon's skin, but it was drawn sickly into the merwolf's fur. Steely gray lines appeared in the beast's yellow eyes, and it went limp, sloshing to the ground. Simon caught his breath and looked around the lawn. All the merwolves had collapsed, and Penelope was herding the younger kids back into the relative safety of the fortress. Basil strode across the lawn toward Simon, brushing the silver from his black cloak. He wasn't even bothering to hide his fangs. Simon could see them from here. Simon adjusted his grip on the Sword of Mages and held it up in warning. Baz stopped in front of him and sighed. "Give it a rest, Snow." Simon held the sword higher. "Do you really think I want to fight you?" Baz asked. "Now? Why should today be any different from every other day of our lives?" "Because today we're at war, and we're losing. You're losing, for once, and it isn't nearly as satisfying as I always thought it would be." Simon wanted to argue, to say that he wasn't losing, that he couldn't afford to lose this fight, but he didn't have the heart for it. He was afraid, terrified, that Baz was right. "What do you want, Baz?" he asked wearily, letting the sword fall to his side. "I want to help you." Simon laughed and wiped his face on his sleeve. It left streaks of blood and silver. "Really? You'll excuse me, I hope, if I don't take you at your word, given the last 8 years of you trying to kill me, etc. "Don't you think I would have killed you by now if I really wanted to?" Baz raised a dark eyebrow. "I'm not that ineffectual, you know. I mostly just wanted to make you miserable, and to steal your girlfriend." Simon's fingers tensed on the hilt of his sword. Baz took a step closer. "Snow, if you lose this, we all lose. I may want a world without you, and a world without your tyrant of a father, but I don't want a world without magic. If the humdrum wins..." Simon studied Baz's pale, grave face and his smoldering gray eyes. There were times when Simon thought he knew those eyes better than his own. Levi giggled. "Shh," Kath said. "I can't believe this is happening." Times when he thought he could read his enemy's face better than anyone else's, better even than Agatha's. "Let me help you," Baz said. There was something Simon didn't recognize in his voice. Sincerity, maybe. Vulnerability. Simon made up his mind quickly, the only way he ever did. He nodded once and sheathed the Sword of Mages. Then he wiped his hand on his jeans and held it out before him. Baz locked on to Simon's gaze as ferociously as ever, and Simon wondered whether there was too much animosity, too much history between them ever to breach, too much to set aside or get over. All the curses, all the spells, all the times they'd fallen to the ground, fists and wands swinging, grabbing at each other's throats. And then Baz took his hand. The two magicians, young men now, shook hands and shared a moment that held nothing more, for what could be more, than understanding. "What about Agatha?" Simon asked when the moment had passed, when their hands dropped again to their sides. Baz grinned and started walking up the steep hill to the castle. "Don't be a fool, Snow. I'm never giving up on Agatha."
The problem with playing hide-and-seek with your sister is that sometimes she gets bored and stops looking for you. And there you are, under the couch, in the closet, wedged behind the lilac tree. And you don't want to give up, because maybe she's just biding her time. But maybe she's wandered off. Maybe she's downstairs watching TV and eating the rest of the Pringles. You wait. You wait until you forget that you're waiting. Until you forget that there's anything to you beyond stillness and quiet. An ant crawls over your knee, and you don't flinch. And it doesn't matter now whether she's coming for you. The hiding is enough. You win when no one finds you, even if they're not looking. When you break from behind the tree, it's because you want to. It's the first breath after a long dive. Branches snap under your feet, and the world is hotter and brighter. Ready or not, here I come. Here I come. Ready or not. From Left, by Katha Avery. Winner of the Underclassman Prize. Prairie Schooner, Fall 2012.
This is Rebecca Lohman. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Fangirl by Rainbow Rowell. This production was directed by Christina Rooney, executive producer Orly Moskowitz. Text copyright 2013 by Rainbow Rowell. Production copyright 2013, Random House, Inc. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.